Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Aarti Pharma Labs Limited Q1 FY27 earnings conference call hosted by 360 ONE Capital Market Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Julie Mehta from 360 ONE Capital Market Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you.
Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of 360 ONE Capital, we welcome you all to Q1 FY27 earnings conference call of Aarti Pharma Labs Limited. From the management side, we have with us Mr. Rashesh Gogri, Chairman, and Mr. Piyush Lakhani, Chief Financial Officer. I would now hand over the conference call to Rashesh, sir, for his opening remarks, post which we will open the session for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, good evening, everyone, and welcome to Aarti Pharma Labs' earnings call for the first quarter of the financial year 2027. I appreciate you taking the time to join us today as I walk you through our performance for Q1 FY27 and share key business developments. Let me start with an overview of our standalone financial Q1 FY27. The top line was 535 crores as compared to 375 crores a year back, showing an increase of 42% YOY. The EBITDA was 133 crores as compared to rupees 95 crores in the corresponding period of the previous year. This is an increase of 40% YOY. The profit after tax for the Q1 FY27 was rupees 71 crores as compared to rupees 48 crores a year back, which was a 49% increase YOY. Now, let me present a few business highlights. Aarti Pharma Labs operates across three key verticals: Xanthine derivatives, API and intermediates, and CDMO/CMO services. The Xanthine derivatives segment contributed to 57% of our turnover in this current quarter, and it recorded the highest-ever quarterly sales of Xanthine derivatives. The volume split was 74% beverages customers and 26% other customers. In terms of geographical split, the sales skewed towards the export, which contributed to 79%, and the local sales were 21%. The API and intermediate business stood at 30% of the turnover. The subsegment-wise breakup was 58% regulated market, 14% rest of the world market, and 28% non-regulated market. While we are working on the development of new molecules with the medium-term patent expiry, the pricing pressures in existing molecules remain. And to mitigate these headwinds, we are starting a special project towards process intensification and cost reductions of existing products. The third segment, CDMO/CMO, has contributed to 7% of the revenue in this quarter. We are presently working with 22 customers, and the number of active projects are now 57, of which 37 projects are in the commercial stages, while 20 are under different developmental stages, both at customer end and our end. Similar to previous years, the CDMO/CMO revenue is likely to be skewed towards the second half of this financial year. The remaining turnover of 6% is categorized as others, that includes trading sales, export incentives, and other sales. Now, I will share the update on the CapEx. I am happy to share that Q1 FY27 marks the completion of a couple of expansion projects. In Q1 FY27, we completed debottlenecking of the steroid block at Unit 4, Tarapur, which is our U.S. FDA-approved API production site. As a result, now we have an additional 33% of our existing steroid capacity enhanced for this block. The additional capacity for Xanthine derivatives, which started by the end of the current quarter, has also been commercialized, and the trial production is ongoing for the final product. The incremental capacity will be ramped up through the next few quarters, and we can reach 80% plus capacity utilization by FY28. Both phases of Atali Block 1, with 440 KL reactor capacity, will become fully operational in Q2 FY27. Atali is majorly engaged in manufacturing of CDMO/CMO intermediate steps. Additionally, we have announced a CapEx of 149 crores towards Block 2 at Attali with 400+ KL reactor capacity. Groundbreaking is expected in Q3 FY 2027, and the completion timeline is around 12-15 months. This block being dedicated towards a specific CDMO project is more cost-effective vis-à-vis multipurpose production block. This block marks another milestone towards our goal of 1,000 crore CDMO CMO revenue. Conclusively, the business looks promising and offers substantial long-term value creation for all our stakeholders. Our strategic focus and operational excellence position us well to capitalize on emerging opportunities in the pharmaceutical sector and deliver sustained growth in the coming quarters. Now I request moderator to open the forum for Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is on the line of Dhruv from Vyomara Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Congratulations on the good set of numbers, and thank you for the opportunity. My first question is on the Xanthine business. Could you please share the current domestic versus the export revenue split in the business, and how's that trend going on, like, as you have increased the capacity, and where do we stand in terms of the global market share, if you can share?
No. Our current split in the current quarter is 80%, 79% export and 21% local revenue share. I think going forward also, as we ramp up our capacity utilization, the local market remains, you know, relatively smaller. Our share in export will continue to be higher. Yeah. In terms of utilization, I think we, as I mentioned, you know, towards the end of next year, you know, we will have more than 80% capacity utilization.
Okay. I also asked regarding the global market share, if you can share.
We are aiming towards 20%-25% global market share with the enhanced capacity in next 2 years' time.
Okay. My second question is that within Xanthine, is the primary competition largely China-based or it's like fragmented globally? Roughly what share of the global capacity would you attribute to Chinese producers?
China is a major competitor for Xanthine. I think overall capacity of Xanthine chemistry in China is quite significant. They, barring few producers in India and Europe, I think largely almost overall competition, 80%-90% is in China only.
Okay. Last question. What would you consider a normalized through-the-cycle EBITDA margin range for the Xanthine business at full utilization, and how much of that is like structural versus dependent on Caspian pricing?
We are just not normally guiding on the EBITDA percentage because, you know, we have a raw material pass-through generally that happens. You have seen in the current volatility with this crisis of Middle East, increase the raw material prices and which we have passed on to our customer. That skews the, you know, EBITDA percentage number. I wouldn't like to guide there. In general, we are at a company level in the range of 20%-25% EBITDA.
Okay. Thank you so much. That was all from my side, and all the best for the next quarter.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Raj Agarwal from Niveshaay Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah.
You're audible.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. My question was on Xanthine side. Xanthine was roughly 57% of the Q. I wanted to understand if you can share split between what was the volume growth and realization growth.
Over last year?
Yeah, compared to last year. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I have to look at the numbers. Probably, I think 25%, I'll have to look at the numbers and we'll get back to you. So,
yes, sir. But directionally wanted to understand, assuming that Q1 number...
Yeah, 25% is the volume growth over last year's volume. The value number, you know, exactly we'll have to see the last year's percentage. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, got it, sir. And so, with the supply chains now normalizing, do we expect that the realization might decline in this current quarter, Q2?
Realization per kg will decline, but overall, you know, with the additional capacity, our you know, sales will grow.
Got it, sir. Right. And sir, last quarter you had flagged that basically we have this large upcoming capex that is coming online, right? Xanthine just came online, and now we have this Atali plant which is going to come online. So those pre-op expenses might hit in basically Q1 or Q2. So those expenses we have not booked yet, right? We will be booking them in the next quarter.
No. We will start booking the expenses. So for Atali, we have already started booking the expenses for phase one of the Atali block one. Atali block two phase, which is smaller reactor block, will get completed. Part block will get completed in the current quarter. So we will, whatever the phase, Atali block one, all the expenses will start, hitting the books in the second half of this year. Similarly, in Xanthine also, you know, the new site that we started, the brownfield additional site that we started, L99, that has also, mechanical closure happened in end of June, and now we have started the trial production. So with that also, the expense will start hitting in the current quarter.
Got it, sir. And so my last question on CDMO side, like you mentioned that we are putting up a dedicated block for a particular project. Do we have like 2-3 projects in our pipeline on which, you know, in future, long term, we can put up dedicated blocks? And since, you know, we just completed one large capex, can we expect that this Atali plant can contribute meaningfully from Q3 onwards?
Yeah, Atali plant, as we have mentioned to you, we are trying to see, in Atali our first block was multipurpose block, and now we are trying to put a dedicated asset which is tuned towards few projects which are repetitive in nature for every year, and on the basis of the same, we would always like to keep our multipurpose block free for newer projects in the initial phase. And as the projects mature and we have visibility of these projects, we will move these projects to dedicated blocks. So that is the theory that we are using. So we are happy to say that, you know, we have identified the products and the projects which have those potential, and they are moving to the dedicated block once we have this dedicated block commissioned in next year.
Got it. And Q3 onwards, we can expect this Atali plant to basically contribute to top line?
Yeah, see, Atali will initially, as we have done, partly top line and partly, you know, it will contribute towards the early stages manufacturing also, for which the final stages customers would like to buy from the existing approved sites. So, but Atali is already contributing from the current quarter meaningfully towards overall manufacturing capacity utilization.
Got it, sir. Those were my questions. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yash from Unify Capital Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi. Congratulations for a good set of numbers. Just tracing back to the Xanthine facility, so what would be the cost impact from Q2 onwards? Can you please quantify it?
Cost impact for the new production site?
Yeah, Xanthine.
Mm-hmm.
So cost impact, basically, we will be ramping up that facility quickly to the newly installed 50% capacity, and I think that would be easily be able to take care of the increased cost which will happen there. So I don't see significant P&L hit for on account of that brownfield expansion that we have.
Yeah. And regarding the Zantin realization, as you said, it's basically it's right now the prices have dropped, right, for Zantin from the peaks which we observed during the conflict May, June.
Yeah, so the prices keep on changing basis the raw material movement, and currently the prices have come to lower level from the peak.
Okay. Another question regarding it's related to your gross margin. So going forward, what would be the sustainable gross margin level? Because I think we had lagged that there would be an impact of input and logistics costs on your API and intermediate business, and which you will not be able to easily pass over. So going forward, what would be the sustainable gross margins?
Gross margin, EBITDA margin, we have mentioned 20-25%. Gross margin should be around 50, plus or minus few percentage here or there.
50%, right?
Right. Company level.
Yeah, understood. And just last question on your steroid block. I think we had done a debottlenecking, so I think the capacity, I think it has increased by one third. So
yeah.
When do we expect the capacity to be completely utilized? And is there any update on any specific orders which we have got for sterile injectables?
No, this is not sterile injectable, this is steroidal side.
Sorry, sorry, my
We have already enhanced the capacity, and because we had a 1.5 month break in the current quarter, so I think going forward, we are fully utilizing the additional capacity of 33%.
Okay. Yes, sir. I'll join back in with you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the queue. The next question is on the line of Ankit Gupta from Bamboo Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So, sir, in this quarter, one thing on the margins is very clear, has been that the impact of Zantin was there significantly. The price increase that we had seen, the realization increase that we had seen in this quarter, that has resulted in gross margins touching almost 56% and our EBITDA touching 25.4%. So this is something which is not sustainable in the coming quarters, given the realizations have already started dropping for Zantin. Is that the right understanding?
So that will be mitigated by the increased quantities that we'll start producing. So as earlier I have mentioned that we were operating at around 6,000 metric ton level of Zantin production, and now with the increased capacity of 9,500 metric ton coming into operations, I think overall we will see higher sales and absolute gross margin will get sustained.
So the gross margin should sustain is what you're saying? Yeah.
Absolute gross margin.
Absolute. Okay, got it. And sir, on Zantin, have we seen some pricing pressure coming down from China with the government there reducing the rebates on exports? And we see that the chemical prices across the board has seen some increase from China prior to the war also. So has that been the case in Zantin, and how should that have a long-term impact on this business of ours?
See, currently the Zantin prices are at elevated level, and they have not come to the normal level of pre-war, so they are still at elevated level. So though they are not at the peak, but they are still higher than what they were pre-war, because a lot of raw materials are still much higher than what they were in the pre-war situation.
Sure. And sir, on this, you know, China anti-involution policy, has there been some impact there on Zentin also?
In Zentin also, they have removed the rebate, and due to which structurally the prices of Zentin have anyway increased overall, because they are not able to get the rebate. So that was one factor which has helped us improve the overall margin in the spot market.
Okay. Sir, on the API segment, you know, we have been in this 160-165 crore revenue range, and in your opening commentary also, you have mentioned that the pricing pressure continues. We had some, you know, good launches that we had planned for this financial year. So, how should we look at this segment going ahead? You know, do you think, you know, we'll be able to go back to at least the 200 crore kind of quarterly run rate that we had seen last year in last to last year in Q4, FY25? Should we be going back to those levels? And when do you expect to come back to those levels? And how are the margins in the segment? Of course, you know, you don't give the overall the specific segment level, but any views on the margins in the segment since we've seen a sharp, like we've seen our revenues also coming down here?
Yeah. So basically, you know, the overall API generic business that we have, generic API and intermediate business, that has two parts, API and intermediate. And whereas I mentioned that we had a shutdown in a block to do the debottlenecking, and that resulted in some reduction in the current quarter, so that will get normalized going forward. We are also looking at debottlenecking of our anti-cancer block, and we expect newer launches happening in the next year from that block. So overall, another key segment in this is intermediate. So that segment will also, you know, few products have been successfully commercialized, and you know, we have undertaken that process intensification exercise in this process. So those also will meaningfully add to the top line and the gross margin. So overall, we expect, you know, going forward, this business to do well, reasonably well from the current level.
Okay. Sir, just last question, if I can squeeze in. So on the CDMO side, sir, two part to the question. So one is, you know, as CDMO revenues have always been, you know, H2 heavy and primarily in Q4, but sometimes last year was also true. So should we continue to expect the same trajectory going ahead also, that this year also H2 will be significantly, you know, will do the heavy lifting for the growth of 40-50% that we are seeing, that we're expecting in the segment? And secondly, sir,
Continue.
Yeah, and so secondly, you know, since FY25, we haven't seen significant increase in the number of molecules. You know, of course, there has been some improvement in the number of commercial molecules, but overall, in terms of molecules and number of customers, there hasn't been any material increase that we have seen. So if you can also talk about why that is there, and, you know, what is our pipeline going ahead, RFP conversions, and overall view on increasing the pipeline for the CDMO segment?
Yeah, CDMO segment continues to be a very important segment for us. And that's why we have guided for a 40-50% growth, and we are quite confident that we will achieve that growth in this current financial year. Overall, if you see, this is a current number that we published, that how many active customers are there and how many active projects are there. And there we deduct the projects that have been dropped by our customers also, which have failed or which they do not continue to pursue. So this quarter, we have seen overall numbers to grow by three projects totally, and one additional customer has been added. But if you see in last 3 years, you know, the number of commercial projects have increased from 21 to 37 projects. And that is the key that, you know, So we have been able to get into the projects which have become commercial, and the company is quite convinced about the growth potential, and that's why, you know, we are investing in almost 149 crore additionally over and above 450 crore expansion that we did in Atali. To ensure availability of capacity for these projects, 37 projects that are with company, and we are quite confident of you know, this 1000 crore target that we have set for us.
So, since you did not answer on that, this CDMO revenues will continue to remain S2 heavy, and
mentioned in my speech that for the current year this will be S2 heavy second half. Yeah,
sure, sir. Thank you, Mr. Welcome.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shubh Mehta from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes,
sir, you're
audible. First is, sir, just a clarification on the revenue breakup which we have provided. I wanted to understand the breakup is on the standalone or console numbers, because 6%.
Standalone.
Then, sir, can you give us the 6% of the contribution of other segment breakup, trading business, regarding what is it exactly?
No, that is all the scrap sales and some other sales, you know. Some trading activities, because we do group buying for the company, like solvents and stuff like that. Not much revenue or gross margin accretive.
All right, sir. Second on the, sir, Ganesh Polychem side, how are margins over there right now, PAT margin side?
Yeah, so Ganesh Polychem overall margins for the consolidation, we have added at 7 crores PAT number after rationalizing 2.5 crore of, you know, the dividend income that we got from the company. So overall,
just a follow up over there, sir. Like, how is business performing over there at that side?
Yeah. Because, you know, strong quarter there, and we had good growth, and we are quite happy that the business in this current fiscal looks strong there.
All right, sir. I'll join back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is in the line of Umang Gada from Avenir Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity and congrats on great set of numbers. I had one question on the margin side of things. That given that, you know, you mentioned that xanthine prices on the spot market have come down, we also have some pre-op expenses on the Atali side of things. So on the EBITDA level, where do we see the margins headed for the full financial year 27? Is it more towards 25% and maybe above, or it's more towards 22% kind of range?
Yeah, it will depend upon how fast and how easily we are able to operationalize the expanded capacities that we are planning to add during the year. But we are still guiding for EBITDA margin of anywhere between 22% and 25% for the full year on our standalone financials.
Okay. I mean, the reason to ask is that, you don't foresee an impact because of this war-related crisis and higher raw material prices impact on the business, right?
Yeah, I think largely, if you see this year, we have given a guidance of almost 40% to 50% on the CDMO. So that revenue will also be significant and almost become 20% of overall revenue of the company, and which is where we have higher gross margins. So they will try to average out the overall EBITDA number.
Understood. And last question on the API side of things. In this business, we had a very great year in financial year 25, and 26 was a very relatively less good year. So do we expect to cross the levels of FY25 revenue levels of 780 crores kind of thing, or we are just going to maintain some 30-odd% growth on a FY26 level revenue?
Yeah, I think the revenue internal target is to meet that number, but I think looking at overall environment and the launches and stuff like that, I think we'll be not able to cross it, but nearly there. We should be nearly there.
Understood. That is all my questions. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I request you to limit your questions to two per participant. The next question is on the line of Rahul Jain from Credence Wealth. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. And sir, congratulations on a great set of numbers. So just to understand on banking, so typically this quarter we have reported 305 crores of revenue. And given our capacity ramp up will further ramp it up, the new expanded capacity, which will further ramp up in terms of the utilization. So this year, and of course you mentioned that there is a slight decline in the prices, but at the same time the prices are above the pre-war levels. So how should we look at the sales for Zanzin this year? Can we look at this 300 and say maybe some decline in the prices being mitigated by your increasing production? So can we expect this year to be somewhere around 1100 crores plus or minus 50 crores of sales from Zanzin?
I think we have to wait and see how the crisis normalizes, and I think that will have a bearing on overall pricing. But I think it will be a range between 900 to 1100 crore. In that range, I think anywhere it can land, 900 to 1000 crore, right?
So can you specify what kind of price increase have already happened in the industry as such? Maybe you may refrain from saying for us, but overall what is the prices increase which the industry has?
The price increase is coupled with the raw material cost increase also. So overall margins per se will have an impact, marginal impact. But I think overall if you see, we have also done the mix change. So we are selling more towards the Kola customers than the regular customers, because as our new facility is upending, you know, we have a higher commitment to give more volumes to these customers. And as the new capacity comes, it will be more on the spot pricing. So that's how the mix has evolved in the current quarter.
Okay. And sir, with regards to the block, which you're talking about CDMO, we are planning to do a CAPEX. So with that CAPEX and the CAPEX which is getting, which has got completed in the phase one as well as getting completed in this current year, those capacities are built to reach our stated goal of around 1,000 crores of revenues.
Yeah.
Say by FY29.
We have to see when we reach it, but 29 or 30. But in terms of the current new block that we propose to put and the existing current block, and of course the manufacturing that we will have at Vapi, I think these things will be sufficient to, sufficient capacity will be there to meet that aspiration with the current block. And then the current block also, currently we have only approved 400 KL, but we have capacity to increase that by another 200 KL. And that will depend on the new projects getting matured. So we are going to keep that readiness on the civil construction part of the project, and that also has been sanctioned by the board. However, the equipments 405 KL only we are putting up, but the additional 200 KL equipments can be put up at very short notice.
Okay. And my understanding was the one dedicated block which you already announced now. There was one more dedicated block which you were planning, probably waiting for some approval.
So that is what we have announced. That's what we have announced. Last quarter I did mention about, we are thinking about this, and that got approved by the board. And so we have few good CDMO projects which have very promising future growth potential.
So I'm talking about two dedicated blocks separately. So we are putting up one, right?
Yes. But we already have another 400 KL multipurpose capacity also available. And the current block that we are putting up, we have currently approved for 405 KL, but we can still go up additional 200 KL. So existing 450 KL plus this 600 KL additional, we can go up to. So which will be very large capacity.
Okay.
No, it's a jumbo block. Rather than dividing into a smaller block, we are putting up a bigger block.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I request you to limit your questions to two per participant. The next question is on the line of Sajal Kapoor from Antifragile Thinking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my questions. I've got two questions. One is, beyond the revenue growth, how has the complexity and value of CDMO segment changed over the years? And how is that progression reflected in the gross margins of CDMO segment?
Yeah, good question. I think since we started the CDMO journey 5.5 years ago, a meaningful CDMO journey, I think we have grown almost 10x in that period. And initially we started with ISO product supply, regulated starting material supply, KSM supply, and then we have moved to GMP supply, and we have always been restricting ourselves to smaller molecules. And now we have also backed certain projects where we are supplying API for initial tox batches and also for the initial clinical batches. In terms of chemistry skill sets, as I mentioned last time, also we have approved R&D lab which can equipment in our research and development center where we can look at peptides and oligonucleotides, and that is adding additional capabilities in near future to the what company can do. Apart from that, we are also doing more and more green chemistry, flow chemistry, and stuff like that. So overall, where we were, I think, 5.5 years ago and where we are today is completely different. We are much more mature company. We are operating all the manufacturing sites which are all approved by the large innovators. Two sites are USFDA approved for intermediate manufacturing as well. And I think overall we are able to build a good name in the CDMO market where people have started recognizing what Aarti is capable of doing. And with the recent hiring of CSO and then the team, a new R&D team also has helped us in overall pushing that agenda.
Well, that's very interesting. Thank you for that. And secondly, some of the larger Indian CDMOs report about 85% gross margins in the development segment. And when the molecule goes commercial, they report 70-75% gross margins in commercial manufacturing, depending upon how many steps, what complexity, etc. So, question is, as Aarti CDMO business scales from 7% of revenue today towards, more like 1,000 crores whenever we get there and beyond, how should we think about the structural opportunity for consolidated gross margins? Because we have got three segments, right? Xanthine is probably the lowest gross margins, and we have got APIs, and then finally the CDMO segment, which to my mind is the highest gross margin.
Yeah, so overall I think 85% and 75% margins, of course, those who are doing very early stage work, but there it is more gross margins are high, but it's more research work. So where we have to put up a lot of R&D efforts, whereas we specialize on the manufacturing side. And we come, and if you see the way in which we have been able to increase our commercial portfolio is quite rapid. You don't see many companies doing 37 commercial projects within such a short span. So
that's where since we get into the projects during phase 2, phase 3 changeover, and then the commercialization of the products, if they happen, you know, we straight away have the commercial sales. And this, our manufacturing specialization helps the innovator to bring down the cost from the early stage suppliers that they have for the clinical batches. So that is what our specialization is. So we don't expect to do 70-75% gross margin currently. Unless we move up in the peptide segment and oligonucleotide segment where it is very complex and more research driven going forward. But in small molecules, I think we are reasonably at 60-65% gross margin on the commercial side, 60%. Whereas on the early side, you know, we also have a little bit higher margins in some projects, but we do limited stuff there overall.
No, that's very helpful. I think even with 60-65% gross margins on optimal utilization, the EBITDA margins can be easily north of 30%. Again, it depends on the utilization level and how fixed costs are covered. But I think 60-65% on a sustainable basis is a very healthy gross margin.
Yeah, but one thing, you know, overall we have three business segments and in combine we are pushing all the businesses to grow significantly, and as I mentioned in earlier that we want all the businesses to grow beyond 1,000 crore. So looking at that, I think Xanthin, as I mentioned, will reach that number sooner. CDMO CMO has few years and also I think API also will take couple of years to reach there. So with all the three segments breaching that, I think we expect CDMO CMO segment to go beyond 25%, 30% overall percentage of the company's sales going forward.
Very helpful. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Kenil Mehta from AMC. Please go ahead.
Sir, on the CDMO side, given our aggressive growth ambitions and CAPEX, could you elaborate on the talent acquisition strategy driving this expansion? Specifically on what addition have you made across your R&D scientific leadership team and global sales and business development team over last few years, and what is the pedigree or domain expertise these hires bring in for RC Pharma?
Yeah, as I mentioned earlier during this current year, you know, we have built a CXO model on the tech side. So we have a chief scientific officer, we have a CTO, we have a COO who operate our manufacturing assets for API and the intermediates, as well as the CDMO, CMO segments and the R&D segments. So we have right people hired, and of course below which also, you know, we have built a team. So we have a dedicated R&D teams which are which have expertise in small molecules. Now we have also hired few people on the oligonucleotides and peptides, and also we have a very good team on the scale-up side and the process intensification. So these three are very important in terms of R&D. We run three R&D centers. We have an innovation center in Nerul, which is largely for the innovators, where we have more than 100 scientists sitting there. We have an API R&D center in Dombivli, which we operate. And then we have a scale-up and the process intensification R&D center in Vapi. So all these three R&D centers combined, we have more than 250 scientists working in our organization. So we have quite healthy pool of scientists and very good team. In terms of BD team, also we are trying to enhance our BD team. We have a geographically distributed BD for CDMO, CMO. And we have people assigned towards different regions. So we have a European lead and we have a US lead, Japan, US and Japan lead. So they work cohesively, and we also have a project management team which supports them so that they only engage mostly in the BD work. So I think we have a good structure that is working well for us.
And what will be the scientist team 2 years back and now? as the CDMO has scaled up?
Yeah, so the entire lab of CDMO we started 3 years back, and we have set up this entire 100 chemists only for the innovator work that we continue to do at our Nerul lab. Yeah.
Understood. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Shubham Agarwal from Burman Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is on the, prices trend of xanthine. So sir, there have been three, different effects that are playing out. One is, that Chinese rebates have been, eliminated going forward from April 2026. Second is what we also understand is that, and that is basis the info provided by, one of your Chinese players through their RHP, that, there have been production quota cuts in China in the domestic market. And, this last is that, there have been rise in the cost of the raw materials that you are consuming. So, sir, let's say, pre-involution duty your prices were X, can you just, help us understand where they are as of now? And, how many of these factors in your assessment will be temporary in nature versus structural in nature?
Yeah, I think the evolution duty currently looks like permanent structural change, at least for the near term, So for next few years, I don't see that to change significantly. And in terms of raw material increases, and that is temporary, and that is basically tied up with the West Asia crisis. Whereas the quota tightening up of Chinese manufacturers that has been done by the government is to ensure curb on the competition, which was all the companies were bleeding in China. So they wanted to prevent it. And I think that is structurally improving the overall xanthine business, margins overall for us. And I think with the capacity that we have now, we will have the second largest capacity in the world of the xanthine. I think we, for each and every consumer, we expect to be in, we expect to have a wallet share in their overall requirement, being the very large Indian source that we are. And with that, the growth that we have projected, that currently we are operating close to 6,000 tons, and we are anticipated to go to 9,500 tons in next couple of years.
So, sir, let's say, if the prices have increased by any amount here, would you characterize 50% of it like in structural nature and 50% temporary, or would it be even higher temporary increase, just in your assessment?
I think very difficult to put that number, but I think we can go by 50-50.
Understood. And sir, I just heard that you were saying that we are expecting 900 to 1000 crores of revenue in xanthine. And what I understand is that we've already done 305 crores this quarter. So, remaining 700 crores in next 3 quarters. So, all in all, would you like expect a, step decline in xanthine revenues in the next couple of quarters just because pricing temporary will reverse? Or would you expect to, maintain this quarterly run rate going ahead?
I think this quarter was exceptional in terms of the top line, and overall the in response to the West Asia crisis, the prices of raw material had almost practically increased by 50% to 100%. I think they have in end of June and July they have come to a little bit of reasonable level from 100% down to 25 to 50% level, so there is already a change, and which will reflect on overall pricing, because largely we have price pass-through deals for the large customers, and for the spot market also it reflects overall pricing to come down. So with that coming in, I think the top line is anyone's guess where we will land. So we are just giving a broad range,
Understood. Sir, just one last question on CDMO. So sir, we have like put up a 150 crore dedicated capex for some of our molecules. I just wanted to understand this dedicated CDMO block. Is it like, you know, referenced by your customer booking your capacity in advance for one of the molecules they might, you know, be in commercializing stages, or is it more to do with your own visibility, you know, a basis few of your molecules? So, like, is it for one customer, one molecule basis for, you know, near term, or is it, you know, fungible between at least 1 to 2 projects basis different durations of time?
Yeah, I think this block is going to be used as a dedicated block for manufacturing of few projects. I think 3 to 4 projects will be done in this block for multiple customers, and little bit of flexibility we will have in between because you know, of you know, skewed nature when they would like to take certain quantities and when they may not like to take. But I think we have quite a good visibility of where what kind of requirement combined can go with those projects that we have, and current capacity that we have would be multipurpose and inefficient and insufficient to meet that number. Not inefficient, but basically over, because, you know, for each and every reactor, we have multiple sets of flexibility that we create, which need not be there for this dedicated block. So rather than creating additional multipurpose, we decided to create a block which encompasses this changes due to dedicated nature, that we are only going to do few stages in that those dedicated reactors. So which makes the CapEx a little bit more efficient, and the process also optimizes a bit because we take care of the need of the process and tweak the machinery accordingly. Yeah,
but,
so that's the advantage that we have.
But sir, like, we would have visibility on projects which in itself can like become 200, 250 crores per molecule. Like, we do have some sort of those projects in pipeline.
I wouldn't like to comment on number, but we have visibility of this. Yeah.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much for answering my questions, and best of luck.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek from Padmaja Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, am I audible, sir?
Yeah.
Yes, sir, you're audible. Please go ahead.
Yeah. And regarding this new capex study, new capacity that got commissioned, when do we get the facility audited by US FDA or EU GMP? Like, is it necessary or not?
Yeah, I think see, the Atali facility that we have started, there is no mandatory requirement of US FDA to get it audited. It has been already audited by our innovator customer, and they have approved the site for manufacturing. Whereas in case of Xanthin facility, is largely for the food requirement that we have enhanced the current capacity that we had at the brownfield site, and that also doesn't require US FDA approval. So overall, both the sites that have become operational in last 6-8 months don't require US FDA approvals as such.
Okay. And another question is on this ranking, will you be allocating more capital going forward also to that division? Like, since it is a commodity and you are trying to focus more on the CDMO part, trying to understand the capital allocation as a broad strategy level.
Yeah, I think with the current expansion that we have done, we will be the second highest manufacturer of xanthin in the world, and I think we feel that this will be current you know, good enough for us to have this capacity for next few years before we put additional capital in that. However, we will not rule out cost saving projects and stuff like that which have lower payback period.
Okay. And last question, so this is the last question. I remember your last presentation where you mentioned that 7% of the R&D expense as a share of API intermediates and CDMO revenue is the expenditure. Like, in that, majority of it, is it allocated towards CDMO or towards the API intermediate one?
I think it is split between both. Between both.
Yeah, the number looks right, so I'm also trying to understand if it is towards playing a old API generic.
I think more towards CDMO.
Okay. And going forward also, we can expect the same range? Or
yeah.
Or is towards lesser than 5% of that?
Yeah. More than 50% of that will be for CDMO.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I request you to limit your questions to one per participant. The next question is on the line of Pritesh Chheda from Lucky. Please go ahead.
So my question is with respect to CDMO. So this 149 crore of dedicated project with 400 kiloliter and another 200 kiloliter possible expansion. Can you tell us the ramp-up plan at least for this dedicated project? Because my guess is here you will have some visibility on the commercials of that molecule. Overall, my guess is you guys have invested now about 600 crore as CapEx. So, right, 450 and this 150. So this 600 crore of CapEx translates into what kind of asset turnover?
Yeah, so I think asset turnover will be in excess of one, I think around one. In terms of overall capacity utilization, meaningful capacity utilization, because this plant that we are dedicated, facility that we are putting up will start in next financial year, end of next financial year, second half of next financial year. And I think it will get reasonably occupied by in one and a half years time post that. So we expect this to meaningfully help us reach our target of 1,000 crores. Yeah. In terms of top line.
So that one-time asset turn is on the whole 650, you're saying? And correspondingly, you have a 1,000 crore ambition. So do
yeah.
we need to then put in, so then we need to put in some more CapEx?
No, we already have our Vapi site also. So which has a 600 KL capacity, out of which partly is dedicated towards the CDMO. And
okay.
Currently 450 KL is there, another 400, and I think the current block we have kept another 200 KL flexibility, so which will also require additional money. But rather than building two blocks, we have decided to go ahead with one block where we can eventually ramp it up to 600 KL. But currently we have visibility of 400 KL, but I think civil we are going to keep ready so that within 6 to 9 months we can ramp up additional 200 KL also.
Mr. Pritesh, I would request you to rejoin the queue for a follow-up question. Ladies and gentlemen, I request you to limit your questions to one per participant. The next question is on the line of Julie Mehta from 361 Capital Market Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you. I had one question related to Xantine and CDMO. So basically, given that Xantine contributed to around 57% of revenue, while CDMO has fallen to around 7%. So we observed that margins have remained stable year on year. So should we expect that margin expansion to improve as CDMO revenues recover? Or does that mean that profitability profile of Xantine has improved enough to offset the lower CDMO contribution?
I think overall, if you see all the manufacturing companies, their profitability in the current quarter looks little bit higher because of the impact of raw materials which have been procured at a lower number and sales rate we have been able to push up. So that has resulted in little bit of higher margin for the current quarter, but that will get normalized for the products, Xantine range of products going forward. And I think in terms of CDMO also, as it moves towards the second half, I think there we will see a ramp up of margins in CDMO because we expect almost significant sales happening there. So I think overall,
this year we will see more stable quarters rather than more up and down happening.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And so regarding the CDMO decline, was it basically because of project timing or lumpy commercial shipments, or maybe there were changes in customer demand? How do we look at it? If you could throw some light on it.
No, so CDMO, we are continuing to hold on our guidance of 40% to 50% growth over last year. And last quarter also we had quite significant sales of CDMO. And the current year also, due to the accounting standard, we had some postponement of sales also because of the non-deliveries and stuff like that, which could have resulted in sales in this year. So looking at overall, I think we are not concerned about lower sales in this quarter, but I think over the next three quarters we will build it up and we will get that growth number.
Okay, sir. And so just one last question. Where in terms of API, where are we seeing the strongest traction kicking in which areas, like oncology, steroids, respiratory, or hypo products? How do we look at that?
See, the company is uniquely positioned and it has the capability of doing anti-cancer projects, it has the capability of doing steroids, and also we do more lifestyle drug projects. Whereas we anticipate newer launches in anti-cancer happening in the coming years where the growth can come. So that's why we have taken an expansion of our block 3, which is our anti-cancer block, and almost the capacity will be ramped up significantly there. Whereas in case of the lifestyle products also, we are adding few more products there which are anti-diabetic nature and which have commercialized, and going forward they will ramp up. But of course, as you know, due to the launch, there is strong pressure on the pricing, and as I mentioned in my speech, that we are targeting intensification and operation intensification and cost optimization exercise going forward. So that will result in positive margin and our ability to sell those products more. So all this will result in positively, I think, in next 6 months' time. And I think we will be able to grow this business also going forward.
Okay. So what kind of margins do we look for API business on a blended basis? Like just the approx range would also work.
So I think gross margin level, we are at around 45-50% gross margin.
Okay, sir. Got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I request you to limit your questions to one per participant. The next question is on the line of Abhish Singh from Shrevis Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir. You're audible. Please go ahead.
I think that...
No, I think it was from the management side.
Management side, yeah. We can take next question. I think probably we can take that last question. If we have one question that we can take.
Okay. The next question is from the line of Ashish from Leo Capital. I request you to limit your question to one per participant.
So on the API business, what is the share of our top 5 or top 10 molecules to overall sales? Would we be supplying it to domestic international market, and what sort of global market share do we have in these molecules?
No, I think the top 10 products would be close to 60-70% of our sales.
Okay. And what would our share of API, and this is in domestic or international, sir?
International and domestic both.
Okay. And what sort of market share would we have in these top 10 molecules?
Top 10 products will be between 10% to 50%.
15%, sir?
50.
Okay. Okay, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vanand Desai from Total Capital. I request you to limit your question to one. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good afternoon, sir. So my question is on the API side. I think you mentioned about, some kind of a closure because of the debottlenecking for 6 weeks, I think. So now currently we are at 160 odd crores this quarter for API revenue. So do you think that we should be able to do 180 plus with the debottlenecking behind us? And is the capacity now with debottlenecking on the steroid side? And I think we were also thinking about debottlenecking on the anti-cancer side. So with that in place, do we have enough capacity to go to 1000 crore on API, or we need more capacity for that?
No, I think we won't need any more capex for that. I think we will be good for 1000 crore plus with the current debottlenecking exercise that we have done for steroid and ongoing exercise for anti-cancer products that we have. And then we have the block 5 which we have also additional line that has come up there. So with all these three initiatives, I think we are good for now, for the requirement of, for achieving 1000 crore plus going forward.
And sir, that question on debottlenecking, that if it was not there, would they have clocked 175?
Yeah, I think, yeah, we should be in that range of 170 to 190, anything in that range going forward.
Thank you. Vishwal.
Thank you.
Due to time constraints, we take that as the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Yeah, I would like to thank all the participants for taking the time. Good evening. Thank you.
On behalf of 361 Capital Market Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.